from attendance to activation. From attendance to activation. Can I get a witness on that today? From attendance to activation. Or I could say awakening the church to its God-given calling. Awakening the church to its God-given calling. So here's some of the things we're going to talk about. It's time to get out of the pew. There's work to do. Get out of the pew because your job's overdue. Get out of the pew. The mission needs you. Out of the pew and into purpose. We have purpose. Everybody here today has purpose, and God has an agenda for you in the local church. I said, in the local church. God has you here not just to hear or to be entertained during the music or just to hear the preaching. You're not here just to absorb, but you're here to absorb and take what you've absorbed to your community, your sphere of influence, your ministry, and not only that, but there's opportunity in the local church for people to serve, and we're going to talk about that. So if you've had your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 11 through verse 16. I will be reading from the NIV, okay, from the New International Version. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. That's Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. When you found it, shout amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say, help me. I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament. Okay. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers for what? Read it with me. To what? Equip his people for works of service. To equip his people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but we'll try to come back and break that down. Then we will no longer be infants or babies, but we that are tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Notice it says, speak the truth in love. Somebody came to my office recently and said, I would not want your job for anything in the world. You know, it's not easy sometimes being a pastor. And when it says here, speak the truth, how many of speaking the truth sometimes hurts? But when you speak the truth in love, you're believing that it'll be received in the right spirit. Speak the truth in love. Why? So we can grow and become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Notice those last five or six words, as each part does its work. Let's read that out loud together. As each part, I can't hear you. Let's try it one more time. As Let's try it one more time out loud. As each part does its work. Each part. That's not apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. That's the body of Christ coming together and doing our work as God has put upon our hearts to do. Now, let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 through 7. If you got your Bibles, turn to it. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 7. Again, Apostle Paul speaking in Ephesians and again speaking in Corinthians. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. I want you to notice in this verse, there are gifts, there are service, and there is working. You see that? There are gifts, there are service, and there is working. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God places gifts in people for the common good, not just for your good. In fact, the gifts that God gives us is not for us at all. The gifts that God has put in us is for others. Can I get a better amen? I mean, I'm going to just give you some simple, basic instructions for Christian living this morning, because we need to go back and visit this at the beginning of the year and see what God's going to do throughout 2026. Now listen to, there is a difference in being present and being engaged. You might want to write some of these one-liners down. There's a difference in showing up and stepping up. Well, I was at church Sunday. Well, I was there. I did my religious duties. I was at church. There's a difference in showing up and stepping up. Okay, let me give you another one. There is a difference between occupying a seat and carrying a calling. In too many places, churches have become a place where people just attend rather than being activated for service. Now, I read to you a moment ago that God set the gifts in the church of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist for the teaching or the edifying or the building up of the saints to equip them for the works of service. How many saw that? You saw that in your own Bible, right? The largest football stadium in the United States is in Michigan, and it's called the Big House, and it seats about 107,000 fans. That's a lot of people. But imagine walking into this packed stadium, thousands and tens of thousands of people cheering, clapping, watching every move on the field. But the reality is the people in the stands aren't doing a whole lot except cheering. In fact, to be honest with you, most people in the stands probably need to exercise to get to the place where those guys are on the field. And not only are they in the stands cheering, but how many knows their cheering can turn on a dime from cheering to, what's the word I'm looking for? To what? Booing. Okay, that's a good word. They can go from cheering to booing on a dime. They paid money to go see 11 people play. Oh, by the way, do you know, I don't know what the roster is for football. I think it's around 60 people they're allowed to have on their roster. It may be a little more, but they have 60 people, say 60 people on their team, but you know not every one of them are on the field. They're not active on the field. But I'll tell you one thing, they are on the edge of their bench, raring to go. They're just waiting for the coach to say, 36, get in here. 12, get in here. They're waiting for the assignment so that they can get in and do what they've been trained and exercised and worked for. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Too many times the church has become a stadium. Once in a while we might get a cheer, but we're not looking for cheers. When I say let's give glory to God, I'm not looking for somebody to say, oh, good job, pastor. Great job leading this church. No, I want us to give glory to God. We're not looking for accolades. Is that the right word? Accolades? Accolades. We're not looking for accolades. The church was never designed to be an audience. Can you say that with me? The church was never designed to be an audience. We are a team. The church is to be a team. It's not a one-man show. It's not a one-person ministry. It is a team of people coming together with different gifts, different callings, different talents, different abilities, and saying, here's what I am going to do for my church. Here's what I'm going to do to support this team. Here's what I'm going to do to make this church a success. Amen. Woo! So in 2026, we are going to move the church from an audience to a team. My vision for 2026 is every believer a minister, every believer serving. People are standing in line asking, what can I do for my church? The church is not a stadium. We are not playing football. We are changing lives. We are in the life-changing business. We're not about seeing how many people we can get to church so we can count noses. Can I hear an amen? We're not counting nickels and we're not counting noses. We are in the life-changing business. Don't worry, I'm not going to break the Christmas stuff today, okay? She was afraid during the whole December that I was going to break the Christmas lights. So we are moving from the fan-based church to an active church involved. Now, let me just say a couple things first before I get into my message. Linda Gillum, brother and sister McFarlane, Alex and Tyler and a whole bunch of people, Debbie, a whole bunch of people every Monday night for about 4 years came here to church to serve, celebrate recovery. They were serving this church. They brought people in that would never come on a Sunday morning. They ministered to people that would never listen to this. I start to say, oh man, this man. I could never reach so many of those people. But you know what? For 4 years, every Monday night, they were faithful. They were serving. And I told them, I said, you guys need to take a break. You've served for 4 years faithfully. Take a break. Jennifer still hasn't taken a break. She works in the nursery every Sunday just about and Wednesday, and here she is sitting out here this morning. But my breaks are about 5 minutes, okay? We're union around here. 5 minute breaks. So you get a small break, but we're going to put everybody, you got to go back to work. Don't get too comfortable. Amen. So listen, we're in the people changing business. The scripture never describes the church as an audience. You look throughout the book of Acts, it was never described as an audience. Now, I'm not mad. I might sound mad. I'm just excited. I'm not mad, I promise. I'm excited about what God's going to do in 2026. And I wouldn't give you two hoots for a preacher that didn't get excited once in a while, even if he sounds like he's yelling at me. I am so emphatic this morning. I've got some points I want to make. It describes the church as a body. The scripture describes the church as a family. The Bible describes the church as an army. It describes the church as a workforce. So we are declaring loud and clear for 25-26, we are going to move people from attendance to engagement, empowering every believer to serve, belong, and build God's work together. And it's not about filling roles, it's about fulfilling purpose. I have a banner that is in the process of being made. From the Missouri T-shirt company that should have been here this morning. My little jab right there. It should have been here. It's going to sit on this stage, but it's going to declare what Solid Rock is leaning into for 2026. Now, just disclaimer, it wasn't their fault. They had plumbing problems. They were up to their ankles in water, and they had big major problems. But it'll, how many believe my sign will be here by next Tuesday? Will my banner be here by next Monday, next Sunday? Next Sunday? Okay. God never intended for any of us to be spectators. Amen? And I know it's easy. I know it's easy to just not have any responsibility. I know it's easy just to come in and sit and get out and leave. But that's not what God designed the local assembly for. He designed us to work together, to pull together, to be a team, to build the church and to bring people in and to build up the ones that are here. You know, guess what? It's not all about you. Isn't that good news? Why don't you just turn to somebody right now besides your spouse and say, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about him and what we can do to build the kingdom of God. Now, Ephesians 4 and 12 again says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? The pastor, the pastoral staff. No, we didn't read it right. That's the way tradition reads it. We, as a church, will hire us a pastor, and he will be the visitation guy. He will be the hospital guy, and he will be the counselor for everybody's got little aches and pains. Oh, he'll be the doctor. He'll be everything that anybody in the church is going to need. But I want to tell you something. This pastor's, I won't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not too good. I just don't have time to be all of that. And that's why some of you are here. Because you can help share the load of counseling, visiting the hospital. Do you know that Connie Doss every week sends out a card? She buys it with her own money. She sends it out with her own money. And I know that's not big bucks, but it's consistent. How many knows consistency is good? And every week she sends out a card to any visitors that were here on Sunday morning. Every week. Some of you don't know some things that are even going on around Solid Rock. Connie, thank you. Can we give her a hand? Thank you, Connie. Yeah. Thank you for being consistent. Thank you for being faithful. We got a lot of people that like to start something, don't we, Alex? But they don't want to finish. We got a lot of people that like to start something, and usually it's for self-indulgement, but they don't want to finish because they find out it involves work. Amen. So, notice, the role of leadership is not to perform for the people, but to prepare the people. Anybody uncomfortable? When the church becomes the place where only a few good men do the work, the body will become unhealthy and incomplete. You know what I'm saying this morning? Like Uncle Sam, we need you. We need you. I've asked Dwayne to fix up a sheet of every area that we can use help in. And I'm going to tell you, you think ministry is standing under these lights and preaching on Sunday morning? Ministry is hanging a light on a 20-foot pole out there. Come on. I know you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the church. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? Oh, I think I could belabor this for about an hour and a half this morning. You know, ministry is not just coming in and sitting here on Sunday morning and saying, I got a testimony, or I have a song, or I want to play an instrument. Ministry might be sweeping out the gym, getting it ready for the ladies' conference. Why is it so quiet in here, John? Where are you all at today? Anybody listening? Well, you know me, I like amens, right? If you can't say amen, at least say oh me. 2026, Roth, we will activate this congregation. We will activate every gift, every voice, every hand. Now, I know we can't make you do something, but we're certainly going to try to whet your appetite. We're going to present you with opportunities. Amen. Say this with me. Every believer, including me, has a God-given assignment. Now, you know what the hard part is? The hard part is trying to find what that assignment is. And what I've taught in the past, brother, what's your name, Chris? What I've taught in the past is that we don't just sit here with our arms folded and says, well, as soon as you give me an assignment that I like, I'll see if that's for me or not. It don't work that way. Well, I'll just pay some big bucks to the church and they'll let me do whatever I want. It don't work that way either. You can't buy us. I'll tell you right now, we won't be bought. So, we do something, and we will find out if that's our gifting or not by doing something. Maybe your gifting is not climbing a ladder on a 20-foot pole out there to hang a light. I know it's not Dwayne's. You want to guess who hung that light out there? Dwayne. Chuck. Did you? I thought you did it. You did. Oh, yeah. They thought it was Chuck. No, it wasn't Chuck this time. It was the guy that said, I'm afraid of heights, and I really, he didn't tell me I don't want to go up there, but I just said, if we get a chance, we need to get that light hung up there. Nobody volunteered to climb it, so you know what he did? He did it. That's ministry, folks. You don't wait around for the biscuits and gravy. You get busy doing something, and you'll find your slot. Everybody's got a slot. This is good, 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 good. Okay, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 again. There are different kinds of gifts. Say that with me. Different kinds of gifts. But notice, it's the same Spirit that distributes them. God gives us variety on purpose. Not everybody's going to fit in the same keyhole. God, spiritual gifts are not meant to look the same. Some teach. Some do construction work. Some do repairs. Some just do whatever needs to be done. Some helps with the church insurance. Right, Roth? Well, you know, I'm kind of at a standstill right here. I don't know how much further to take this. We can't just sit still and do nothing. There's too much to be done in the kingdom of God. And what you've got to get in your thinking is, I'm not doing this for Daryl Rhodes. Here's something else you got to get in your thinking. I'm not doing this for Solid Rock. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might, but do it as unto the Lord. Some lead, some teach, some serve, some encourage. But the Bible says that the source is the same Spirit. It doesn't mean one's better than the other. In fact, that eliminates competition. When you know it comes from the Spirit, it eliminates competition. And I'll tell you something else it does. It'll eliminate inferiority. Because if God called me, He must think I can do it. And for me to feel like, well, I'm not qualified, or I'm not eligible, or I'm not gifted. You know, if God put that in your heart, there's a reason for that. Wow, this is so good. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Notice, there are different kinds of service. Everybody, service. There's different kinds of service. Let me tell you something. Gifts are not trophies. Gifts are not something we put a parade around in a cabinet or put on a shelf. Gifts are for service. And I'll tell you something else. Gifts are not for you. My preaching gift is not for me. Now, I know some of you just said, he ain't got no gift to preach. But God must think I do. But it's not for me. Whatever God's called you to do is not for you. It's for others. It's to build the kingdom of God. Woo, this is good teaching this morning. I think I'll go home and watch this. There are, now next it says, you know, it says the same Lord in verse 6, there are different kinds of what? Of working. How many know God doesn't work the same way in every person or in every situation? There's different kinds of working. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now look at those next four words. Now to each one. Everybody say out, I'm that one. Come on, say it again. I am that one. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the good of everyone. This is good, isn't it? Not some are gifted. Not those that have just graduated from university or from Bible school. Each one of us are gifted according to that verse of Scripture. And I want you to know today that there are no unnecessary parts in the body of Christ. You're a nurse. You're a highly qualified nurse. And I know that you know the body. And you know that every part of this body is designed to do. There's a part. Every part has a purpose. Amen. I still don't know. Do anybody know what the appendix does? I don't know what the appendix does, but evidently there's a purpose for it. Darlene says, if God created everything for good, why did he create snakes? What good are snakes? Well, how many knows they eat rats? Okay, there's a purpose. What good are flies? They give you something to kill legally, okay? Verse 14 of this says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 20 says, there are many parts, but one body. In other words, there are no bench warmers. There are no extras. There's no spectators. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 6, 7, and 8. Romans 12. I love Paul's explanation here. What version is that? Message Bible. Let me just say something about translations. I know people get a little confused or maybe even upset because we use different translations, but it's only for clarification. It's not for doctrine, okay? We use various translations just for clearer explanation, but you never build a doctrine off of something that didn't come from the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic. Can I hear an amen? Okay, so this is the Message Bible today. Brings clarification. I love this. Thank you, Paul. Let's just be what we were made to be. Without comparing ourselves with each other. Tyler touched on this yesterday morning. Not this scripture, but one close to it. Let's be what God made us to be without comparing ourselves with each other. You know what? There are people in this church that know the Word of God better than I do. But you know what? I'm not jealous and I don't feel inferior because of it. I'm not going to resign pastoring because somebody knows the Word better than I do. Because I know my place. There are. Guess what? There's people out there that's smarter than you are. Right. Yeah, I know you don't believe that, but there are. Stop comparing yourselves. Stop trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. Don't you like that? I like that. Don't try to take over. Just help. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. Pretty plain, isn't it? Is this helping anybody today? Is this making anybody mad? Don't raise your hand. Be careful you don't get bossy. It's amazing how people can start being used and all of a sudden get real bossy. If you are put in charge, do not manipulate. We lead. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. Do not turn your head the other way. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. It's pretty good everyday instructions, isn't it, Doctor? Isn't it? Amen. You see, the tragedy of the modern church is not the lack of gifting. It's the unused giftings. Amen? I'll say it again. 2026, we are declaring no one sits on the sidelines. You say, you're going to make me serve? No. Everyone has a place in ministry, moving from spectators to servants and advancing the mission together. Jesus never once, and you can search it through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he never called people to watch. He called them to follow. Amen? And following Jesus always requires participation. Who handed out the bread and the bread and the fish? The disciples. What were they doing? They were following the instruction, but they were following Jesus. Why? How would we have responded if the pastor asked you to take two loaves of bread, and let's start feeding the entire community of Farmington? Come on. They followed. They followed. Remember Nehemiah building the wall, and this was a revelation to me as I began to study this. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, in Nehemiah chapter 3, it says, next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so. You know what I read in that? It finally dawned on me. One was the priest, one was a bricklayer, the other one was a gas station attendant, the other one was a mechanic, the other one was an electrician. Now, that's not in the King James Version. That's in the RIV, the Rhodes International Version. So next to him was, in other words, people were responsible for the wall that was in front of them. They weren't responsible to rebuild somebody else's wall. They weren't responsible to do somebody else's job. Their job was to rebuild the wall in front of their house, basically. And they were all different people. They weren't trained masonaries. Is that the right word? Masons? Yeah. You know what happened? Everybody took ownership of rebuilding that wall. You know what we need, Solid Rock? People to take ownership. I love it. I love it when I see people in Solid Rock taking ownership. You know, I never, never have to tell Tiffany what to do. I never have to tell Carissa what to do. Never have to tell Dwayne what to do. They all go far above and beyond their jobs. You say, well, they get paid for it. Well, they ain't getting rich getting paid for it. I promise you that. Remember, it's ministry. But they do it joyfully. And they do it without being... Now, once in a while, I'll say, hey, Dwayne, if you get a chance, could you hang that light or get somebody to hang that light? Or, can you get that stuff changed in that room back there? We need those tables folded up and put chairs out there. And Dwayne, he never says I'm too good to do that, or he never says that's not my job. By the way, he'd only say that one time. No. No, that's not true. He would never say that. Ephesians 4:16. Just give me another page, okay? Ephesians 4:16. This is from the Passion Translation. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. I mean, doesn't that sound like a church that's working together? That sounds like a group of people that's found their place. And I just encourage you, because you might walk out of here thinking, man, Brother Rhodes needs me 50 hours a week. No, I'm just saying, you know, there's people in here that could do some things that would help out. You know, I'm not asking you to sign over your checkbook or your accounts. I'm not asking you to do. I'm just saying, if you see something that needs to be done, you know, let us know. If we see something that needs to be done, we might let you know. But serve with joy and gladness, and not, I wish they'd leave me alone. I promise we're not going to. Now, Mark, I'm sorry. A few years ago, we just used you night and day. Every time something broke, you know who we called? Mark Thurman. We called Mark so much that he could have. Yeah, we didn't have anybody else. But you know, thank God I never heard him complain. He might have complained on his way home, but I never heard him complain here. But thank God, we're not asking you to burn the midnight hour. We're not asking you to come over every evening. It's just if something, you know, needs to be done, would you be willing to help? That's ministry. Everybody say ministry. I asked this guy right here on the front row. I said, hey, Mr. Locksmith, can you get us a magnetic lock for the front door so that we don't have to pass out keys to everybody? You know what he did? He got a magnetic lock, he installed it, and now we're set. Isn't that awesome? Thank God. Thank God for people that's willing to do. Now, that you say, well, I'm not gifted to do that. No, but you're gifted in something. It might be using a vacuum cleaner, but you're gifted. Amen. Okay, I got to hurry up. Imagine owning the most expensive toolbox imaginable. Brand new tools. Brand new. Sparkling clean. Every kind of tool that you need. But the box never gets opened. And even though the tools look brand new and spotless, they remain unused, untouched, and ineffective. The value of the tool is not in its existence, it's in its use. I want you to see that. You might be a socket, you might be a screwdriver, you might be a pair of pliers, you might be channel locks, you might be, you know, whatever. But you know what? People look at the church as a toolbox. We'll just come in here, then we'll go out and use our tools in the natural. God's got us here for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. How many times have I called upon you, Scott, for something? Time or two. You know what we're going to do this year, Darlene? We're going to open that toolbox. We're going to see if those tools want to go to work. Amen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to connect people in relationships. Relationships are so important in a church. We need to connect in relationship. Some of you don't even know some of the people's names here. And I'm the same way. Don't ask me to call you by name because I couldn't do it right now. But some people don't even know that somebody else is coming to this church. All they know is that that's a face. We need to connect in relationships. Shout amen. 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 Okay, I won't say that. Acts 2. Worship team, come on up here. Let's tease these people a little bit and make them think we're about to close. And let's do that. It's a new season song, okay? Come on, worship team. Come on, worship team. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Listen as we, or follow along as we read this. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know why people were being saved? Because they saw the love. They saw they experienced the generosity. They enjoyed the fellowship. Everybody likes to eat. You just invite me over for dinner and see if I won't show up. Brother Rhodes, we need some fellowship. Well, put on the fried chicken, honey, and I'll be there. No, that's the way, you know. I'm telling you what, the Eastern European, I'll just say European culture is built around relationships at the dinner table. You won't see them on their phones. You won't see them doodling. You know what they do? They fellowship. They communicate. And I tell you something else. It don't just last 30 or 40 minutes. When we go to Georgia and we go out to eat with the bishop, it's a two-hour event. They love the fellowship. They love the entertaining. They love the giving. They love the part of just getting to be together. You know what? We miss that in this culture. We can't even come to the restaurant without a mother and a father and two children on their phones. When the church is activated, God adds the increase. If it changes, it's because someone didn't just say yes, they did. It's more than saying yes, it's doing. Amen. One teacher can change the life of a student in the classroom. Amen. One servant, like Isaiah, that said, "Here am I, send me." He didn't say, "What about all those other lazy people in the church?" You know what he said? "Here am I, send me." I believe you're thinking this morning. I believe you're thinking. And I believe God is speaking to us. One person. I preached Wednesday night how that one person can make a difference. God searched for a man. He was looking for somebody that will say, I will go. And somebody said, here am I, send me. He was looking for somebody that could make up the hedge. Who can mend the fence? Now that sounds real spiritual, don't it? Mending the fence. I'm looking for somebody that can repair. And I found one. Amen. This year, it's not about doing more. It's about being and doing what God's already called us to do. Chris Norman did a fantastic job this morning in his class. Great, great lesson. Great teaching, brother. And I know it may be out of your immediate comfort zone, but there's great anointings on you, and God's gonna pull them out of you. You're gonna see God using you in greater ways. Let's be what God's already called us to be. Amen. Amen. No spectators, no sideliners, no bench warmers, no unused callings, just doers. A church, can you imagine, fully engaged? Somebody told us recently, they said, I cannot believe the volunteers that you guys have at Solid Rock. A very good friend of mine, whose father pastors a great big church, huge church. Well, when I say huge, it's about 1,400. And he came down here and he said, he calls me uncle. He said, Uncle, I cannot believe the workers that you have in your church. For as small as your church is, the amount of people that volunteer. Thank you. Thank you for giving of yourselves. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Remember that song that guy sung about the Sunday school teacher that gave herself to her class, and because of that one guy made it into heaven? The power of one. Stand to your feet with me this morning. We're getting ready to sing. It's a new season. You need to make a decision this morning. You need to make a choice. You can't just put this in the back of your mind and say, well, I'll think about it during the week. You've got to make a decision. Am I going to think about it? Somebody said, well, I'm going to pray about it. What's there to pray about it? I just give you the word. You don't have to pray when the word is given, right? Okay. Make that decision, because the decision is the spark, but the action is the fire. Remember that. There's a lot of people that's made decisions, but they're still in the decision mode. It's the action that sets the fire. The Sea of Galilee is full of life. There's plants. There's sea creatures. There's animals. There's minerals. The Sea of Galilee is just bountiful with movement. You know why? Because the water flows in and the water flows out. It takes in water and it gives out water. The Dead Sea, however, has water flowing in but nothing flowing out. And guess what? As a result, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Connie, you've been there. Some of you that have been to Israel, you've been to the Dead Sea. There's no life. Because all it does is receive, 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 receive. The life actually comes from receiving and giving. Giving myself, giving my gifts, giving my talents. What can I do? Somebody says, well, serving just drains me. No, serving is what keeps us alive. It's a new season. It's time for change. It's time to get connected. It's time to get plugged in. Dwayne's going to have a list of several things around the church that maybe once every 3 months, you might be needed for something. Wouldn't it be nice if we had somebody on the list that when one of these young kids up in the classroom gets mad and kicks a hole in the sheetrock, that we could call somebody and they'll say, I'll be right there to fix it. I'll be right there. I put a hole in the nursery wall the other day. I was trying to do something in the nursery and clumsy roads just put a hole in the wall. And you guys don't even know it because I fixed it. Now, you go back and find it if you want to. But you know, things happen. We had a kid, somebody's kid threw something in the children's church recently and broke the big screen TV. You know, things happen all the time in a church. There's things happen all the time. There's equipment breakdown. I want to tell you, Nick Radford should not be the only person sitting back there running this sound. That is a 40-hour-a-week job for him, and he needs to, you know, he needs some help. But we don't want just anybody going up there. You understand? We will, what do you call that when you, train, but we'll select you. I don't know what the word is. If you qualify, not everybody that says I'll help in the sound can help in the sound. That is one of the most strategic positions in this church. We need helpers with the camera. Tyler's up there every Sunday morning. He wants to be out here once in a while. But if you volunteer to work the camera, I want to tell you something. You're going to have to go through certain things to be able to work the camera. You can't just come in when you want to and, well, I don't want to be there this, you know. There's requirements. There's expectations. But there's always something. Always something. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the Christmas tree is down. It was up here for about a month, but it's gone now. You think it just walked out? How many of you know somebody had to stay after church Wednesday night and take it down? Chuck. Father, thank you so much. God, I've really tried to put out what you put on my heart. And I know sometimes Daryl Rhodes shows up in these messages. But Holy Spirit, would you just filter the things out that maybe didn't need to be said, and help me, Lord, just refine the words that we can receive this message this morning as being from the Spirit of God. God, we know the word. We all know that we're laborers together with God. We all know there's responsibility to being a part of the family of God. Just as our children knew they had chores and our children had things that was expected to them, and not always did they get paid for making their beds or cleaning their rooms, but Lord, they knew it had to be done. And I thank you, Lord, that this church, we're not a huge church, but God, there's some things that need to be done. And I believe, God, you're touching some people's hearts and lives today. We need servers in the nursery. We need helpers in children's department. We need helpers in other areas of ministry. We need some people that just willing to lift a hammer, pick up a nail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've planted in this church. And God, there's people here today that have been planted by you, and they're not going anywhere. They're planted. But God, you said that seed has to first of all die before it will be productive. And Lord, I thank you for productivity through the people at Solid Rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Did y'all get anything out of this today? We came in one day within the last 3 months, and there was water all over the youth room floor. I mean, it was puddles. I mopped up some, but then it came right back again and just kept coming in. Dwayne mopped it up. Carissa mopped it up. But the water just kept pouring in. We couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. Do you know, is Teresa here this morning? Huh?
To the left, right back there.
Huh?
Teresa Gorley?
No, Teresa Blake. Teresa and her husband, Blake. What's his name, Jerome? Jerome and Teresa Blake came over to this church, got on a ladder, and I'd bought about 10 gallons of stuff, five gallons of stuff, and they stood on that roof and they patched every screw that they could see that day. I mean, this place is full of screws, but it's also full of screw holes. Because the people that put the roof on, sometimes they miss the joint and they would just take the screw out and go over to the next place and left the hole there. Little did we know that, but Teresa and her husband, little old Teresa, got up there. They couldn't get it all, so guess what? Eugene said, I'll crawl up there. And Roth, yes, and Roth. They climbed up there on that roof, got their little sticks and their gallons of whatever that stuff is, and they began to patch this roof. I don't think we have any leaks now, do we, Duane? I bet they want to hear no.
Yeah, not that I'm aware.
No, not that we're aware of. But thank you, guys. You see, it takes a lot of people working together. There's things goes on that y'all don't even know about. But you know what? Eugene didn't go around bragging and say, hey, I'm the one that got on the roof and stopped the leaks. You'd have never known that Teresa got up there, that little lady. She's probably, what, 60 years old? 90 pounds, yeah. So all I'm saying is, it may be natural work, but it's a spiritual calling. It's a spiritual gifting. Thank you all for what you do. Thank you for all of you that just serve wherever you're needed. You know, the Bible talks about the different giftings. You know, there's the gift of giving. There's some people that are handicapped and they're not able to get up on the roof of a building, but God's blessed them and they can give financially. That's ministry. Thank you for the gift of giving. Thank you for the gift of serving. Thank you for the gift of teaching. Thank you for just being used wherever there's a need. Did I pray? Did I already pray? Okay. I'll pray again. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you. It's a new season. It's a season of power, prosperity. This church is moving from the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee. Thank you for the movement. Thank you for the life. Thank you. Jesus' name.
It's a new season.
Come on, sing it out, guys. Sing it out.